to go down.
Swing your body round and round, and then the night is going down. One more shot, another round, and then the night is going down. Swing your body round and round, and then the night is going down. One more shot, another round, and then the night is going down.
Love this song. We'll be right back.
Hang on. Just finishing something. Hello, John. No, he's not there. John C. Dvorak.
Okay, hang on. My sound doesn't seem to be coming through.
Okay. Put the music back up then.
Gotta reboot. Sorry.
Got it? Oh, rebooting. All right, I got the great song. Come back. Happening. You with me?
I got it. Yeah, I got you.
You good now? You love this song. Don't you love this song? It's China Crisis. It's kind of apropos. All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't like that kind of music.
I don't know what it was.
Oh, it's China Crisis. King in the Catholic Church.
No.
Did I ever ask you the genre you like of music? One of these days. We'll know. We'll know. We'll all know one of these days. Okay. I'm all set. Let me look at stuff here because things got funky the other day. Okay.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the fifth show of June, the 30th of June, 2026.
Wow. Very nice. What an amazing entry. You just really nail it every time.
Oh yeah.
That's
read the date.
Is that something you have to prep? What do you do with that?
How do I do it? I click on the little icon on the computer to see what day it is.
That's it.
And then I read it.
Why expend more energy than you need to, really? I mean,
well, I don't know why I should go through any more work than that. I could do the Gregorian number, or I suppose I could make it fancier.
You could. You could tell, you do like maybe a 24-hour time check or something, you know, it's, or some
what
other.
What day of the year is it? How many days into the year are
right.
we?
Right. How many days to go? Maybe you could do a little debt clock read of all the numbers on that.
Debt clock, there we go. That would liven things up.
Well, it's 250 years in the making, about to happen July 4th, this weekend on Saturday. Friday's the official day that the markets will be closed. We just had Juneteenth, by the way, so that was... Was it 2 weeks ago that markets were closed, banks were closed? And here we are again, another Friday, where we're going to have a holiday shortened week, which means that data that we'd usually get on Friday is going to come out Thursday. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that means that the jobs numbers, the employment report from the BLS is coming out on Thursday. Kind of interesting. Early.
Should make things interesting if they're not good.
Yeah. So we'll have the usual fireworks and fanfare, and it's going to be great. And then it's back to the summer and the heat. It's been hot. It's been so hot down here in Florida, 90 degrees or so, but as humid as can be, that my dryer is like shutting off. Yeah, it's hot. Matter of fact, it's so hot that when I stand and get...
How hot is it?
I can stand in front of the exhaust of my dryer to cool down. Yep. So we have the scorecard of what's gone on, because now is the close officially of the June month and the second quarter and the first half of 2026. So that's kind of cool. Bulls are on the loose. No question about that. And I saw something, saw a few different things recently that really got me a little riled, a little pissed off. One of them, Kevin Hassett. And I'll say it again, as I always say, you know, there's certain phrases and things that you say when, like, the Fed, the PCE is their Fed's preferred measure, or, you know, this person, Lynn Garazella, called the market twice. Kevin Hassett, the man with the ill-fitting shirt. He has a collar that, I told you, he has a collar that's like...
Now I'm going to be seeing that every time I see him.
He's like a size 20 collar for a 16-inch neck.
It's probably more like a 16-inch collar for a 14-inch neck.
Maybe, but it's
12.
You know, a collar should be, my father always taught me, you could do one or two fingers that you could fit inside of it, right?
Yeah.
This guy has a giant fist. So therefore, when he ties his tie, it looks stupid. It looks dumb. Looks dumb. But he's, and then I have another thing we're going to say, what a putz. What he talked about today, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, really, really got me going. And then we have an official Ram job going on. That's what we're calling it, a Ram job when it comes to memory prices right now. Little history that I sent to you. Hopefully you did read that.
Yeah, I did. I read all that stuff. I forgot all about that.
Right.
I vaguely remember that.
I mean, when I saw that too, I'm like, oh, yes. Ah, of course. Yeah,
price rigging.
Yep.
And it actually kind of makes sense, not to jump the gun on the topic, but it kind of makes some sense because they're putting the server farms up, but they're not putting that many up all at once. I mean, they don't need the it's possible that this is going on, or they're anticipating there's going to be a huge demand, so let's jack the prices up.
And it's working. We saw the numbers come in. But the other question is, how much of this compute's going to be done in the data centers? And how much? Do you remember when computers first came out? Well, when I say first came out, back in the day, I took a class in high school, a computer class. And, yeah. I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
What year was this?
That was probably 80.
80?
Yeah. 79? 80.
Okay.
So
I had my first computer in 1977.
Yeah. So, but it was a green screen thing, right?
Yeah, of course, green screen.
You know what I'm talking about? One of those monochromes.
Yeah, that's what you got. Yeah, that's what the IBO.
With a cursor. That was just cursor that was blinking all the time.
Blink,
right?
blink.
So I think, if I remember correctly, the final for that class was effectively logging in. If you could do that, you pass the final.
Log in.
It took us like 3 weeks to figure that. What do you mean log in?
You might as well move to India and become tech support.
Yeah. So and we learned all sorts of language crap that we could, you know, I think it was COBOL at that time or something. We were learning some of that language, and maybe it was Fortran too. It was just something silly.
The original computer classes tended to teach Fortran.
Yeah. We learned something, and, you know, then we got the Commodore 64, the Atari, whatever, and it was great. You could do things like write your name many times across the screen. Look at this! My name keeps on rolling across the screen. And I'm not sure I was going with this. Where was I going with this?
Yeah, about memory,
oh,
maybe.
Yeah, the point about memory was that was a dumb terminal with a cloud. That's what it was, right? It was a server behind it. You logged into the server.
You were rigged. You did definitely with a Commodore 64. It wasn't.
No. I'm talking about the first computers out there. And then we started getting more and more and more to a point that we had PCs and everything was held on. And then we went the other way again, and now we're cloud again. Right? We sent it outside.
Yeah. Initially, it was never called cloud.
No, of course not, because it was just next door to server.
It was a big computer,
right,
sitting on the campus.
Like an AS400 or some other kind of IBM something or other. So you have to wonder, is that kind of situation going on now where you have everything off-site?
That's what everybody thinks.
and you have a dumb terminal, essentially, a nice one.
Saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to go local.
Yeah, and you're going to go local again, and therefore
do AI, desktop AI.
Right. You could buy the Blackwell chips. I know that because I recently saw it. It was like 20.
Well, not only that, but NVIDIA is selling these little machines.
Right.
He's selling little bitty computers that are like those little Pi machines, those little bitty things.
The Blackberry, no, the Blackberry, the Raspberry Pis?
Yeah, like a Raspberry Pi. It's got the NVIDIA, all the NVIDIA stuff in it, right. A bunch of memory, the whole thing, it works.
Right. So the question, we'll get into this in a second. We did see on Monday was Google's first day in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is a good one for everybody. SpaceX bonds already losing money. People that bought those are getting creamed.
Yeah, the stock goes up.
Yep. It went up today, but it's only at 173. It did go as high as 225 at one point. And the yen is at 1986 levels. And now we're having this thing that you hear about, like, oh, there may be yen intervention by the Bank of Japan. Hit another low today against the dollar.
Well.
And if anybody wants to take the other side of that trade, thinking that the yen's going to come up very substantially, there's a name for that trade. You know what it's called?
Stupid.
It's called stupid, but it's a little bit, there is literally a name for that trade. What going it? Long, it's called the Widowmaker.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that trade is called, the Widowmaker.
Just think how cheap the Toyotas are. That's all that really counts.
We did a little comparison on the price of things, and we did some looking at restaurants. It was like $18 on average for a meal in Japan. Because the dollar
is so strong. Yes, my daughter and her husband went to Japan about, I guess, last summer or recently. And they were just raving about the prices.
It's like when you go to Vietnam.
So cheap, yeah. Might as well you get free.
I was in Vietnam. I had an hour-long massage. Hour and a half massage.
At one of the barber shops?
No, it was like this massage place where they put me in a pickle barrel full of like water with spices. Then we went into a steam room with lemongrass. Then we get on these tables. It was three of us in a room. And these little Vietnamese girls, which had more strength in their hands than you can imagine. And they would stand on things and massage you with their feet and the elbows. And for an hour and a half. And they go downstairs and you have some porridge and you have some tea. The bill's like $10. And I gave them like a $5 tip. And they're like, oh my God, no, I can't take this. I'm like, okay, what do we do? It's unbelievable how cheap some places are.
Yeah, well.
But let's talk about a putz. Should we talk about a putz?
Sure. Putz.
So, you know, the Trump accounts are officially launching on July 4th, which is on Sunday. Which, isn't July 4th on the Sunday? Am I wrong about this?
No, July 4th is actually Saturday.
Even worse. So this is going to launch on July 4th, the day that you can't actually open the accounts because the brokerage houses are closed. New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ are going to set to ring the opening bell from the Oval Office on, I don't know what day, I guess Monday, I assume?
Must be, yeah.
Now, this program gives $1,000 Treasury-funded investments account to U.S. children born between January 1st, 2025 to December 31st, 2028. We know that. Kids under 18 can have these accounts, but only newborns in the four-year window get the federal seed money. Parents, family members, nonprofits, blah, 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 blah.
Well, what's the other account?
What's the other account? What?
Well, he says the kids under 18 can have an account.
Kids under 18 can have a Trump account, but they have to be funded by, well, if you're born within that range, you get $1,000 from the government. Otherwise, your parents can fund it.
What's so special about it as opposed to a bank account?
You get tax deferral.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like an IRA for a kid, kind of.
Oh, okay, IRA for kids.
Basically.
I like it.
So, money is invested in index funds, generally locked up until the child reaches adulthood. He pitched it on TV, live TV, as a way to teach kids about markets, ownership, savings, and compounding. His argument, which I had a problem with, and this is where it comes in, where the putz commentary comes in, is that more young people get exposed to investing early and market ownership becomes less of an upper income club. It's capitalism, he said. This is how people learn about capitalism and how investing works and all this. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, wait, let me get this straight. The government is giving money to children, handing out taxpayer-funded brokerage seed money while selling it as capitalism.
Yeah, that's a good one. Irony.
Let's be straight for people who are not following this discussion. When the government gives money to people from taxpayer money, is that capitalism or is that socialism?
Might as well be communism.
Right. So it's also odd, this whole thing, because this benefit for who's going to actually be able to utilize this may effectively benefit those people who already know how to file forms, open accounts, and add more money. In other words, not a lot of people have these kinds of sophisticated IRA accounts and things like that. And if you don't have that, it may be a tougher road to start getting these things. And usually those people that have those, that experience, are ones that have more money. So basically, here's my commentary on this. It's a forced financial literacy experiment wrapped in a political brand name with a socialist starter check to teach capitalism.
I think that's a good summary.
That's my summary. I was thinking about this.
Yeah, afterwards. You wrote that down.
I did write it down because it pissed me off so much. It just pissed me off. I was like, afterwards, I was like, and that's the second day in a row that something on CNBC really irked me. I've stopped listening to them in the car. Joe Kernan went at a Jeremy Grantham, who is a well-respected, kind of a perma-bear to a degree.
Kernan goes after everybody.
This guy, I thought the guy was going to have a freaking heart attack. Kernan went after him hard. So, you're telling me that the advice you gave to people doesn't stink and that you've made people lose money all these years? How do you live with yourself?
Oh, God. Selling that to an investment
like an
analyst?
Like an 83-year-old dude. That's great. I thought it was going to be at the end of him. I did.
I like those scenes. It must have been something that Kernan must have personally taken a bath at. One lone thing maybe I'll give that a run. Yeah. And lost everything.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about first half winners and losers. The S&P finished up about 7.5% with a rally led by AI hardware chips. We had memory. Of course, we know the names, right? Data center, infrastructure names, all that. The biggest winners were the shoveler sellers. Like, this is the picks and shovels from the days of gold. You know, what do you want to own? Well, I want to own the denim companies, right? I didn't want to be the guy digging the holes. I want to sell the shovels. I want to be the bartender. I want to be running the prostitution house. So these were in this genre. SanDisk up. Hold on to your seat for a second, John.
You already did this to me last show.
Up 780%. Micron up 300%. Western Digital up 240%. And Seagate up a paltry 226%.
Yeah, probably double again.
Overseas AI hardware rip. South Korea's Kospi was up a whopping 125%. Helped by Samsung up 169%. SK Hynix up 303%. Semiconductors ETFs, huge. The iShares Semiconductors was up 86%. The VanEck was up 64%. Nikkei, Japan's Nikkei, rose 38% to a level that was the biggest quarter in the history of the Nikkei. The FTSE gained about 5.8%. 5.8%. What do you need? You might as well not even make any money. 5.8% in a quarter, annualized at about 24%. You might as well just say, what's the point of all this?
What's the point?
Losers were the software platinum platform names. You know, the Salesforce, those guys, Monday.com and Workday. Microsoft is down about 24%. Interesting. You had Microsoft, Facebook, you had Google, all these names down. And the NASDAQ still eked out close to a gain. A big gain for the quarter, but not for the month. But these big names were down. Momentum stocks had one of their worst stretches in two decades as the Mag 7 slipped on CapEx worries, and crypto and coal got snipped as well. The equity bulls are running like it's San Fermín, Spain, where we have the running of the bulls on an annual basis. Have you actually seen that? Gone there?
I've never gone there and saw it in person, but you see movies.
It looks dumb. It looks
dumb,
but it also looks like a probably like puke. Like you see a guy gored, that's probably not pleasant to watch.
I think people avoid getting gored.
Of course they try to avoid. That's the point. But do they?
I don't know. They never show it.
Gold had its biggest quarterly loss since 2013. Oil starts and ends about, give or take, the near it. Cosby, best quarter in 30 years. The stock 600, best quarter in 5 years. NASDAQ, best quarter in 4 years. Yeah. And now we're going to talk about these when something's going to break section, the segment of the show that we're dedicating for this. We saw that Micron announced earnings, right? A lot of companies were panicking. News was out about an existential threat to small companies. They're talking about how the pricing of chips and memory and storage and all that. If you're not a major company that can absorb this kind of excess cost, you're going to probably go out of business. How can these guys compete? And Micron lifted on the all-time high about, it was 20% on that. Started coming down already. Apple pricing increased their pricing. Dell is increasing their pricing. Microsoft's raising pricing on Xbox. HP across the board increased. Lenovo and Xiaomi increasing. Now Apple is lobbying the Trump administration for clearance to buy memory chips from China's Changxin. How do you say that? Changxin?
I don't know.
Changxin. 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 Memory technologies, which that'd be pretty interesting. What if all of a sudden the Trump administration allows for
probably Changxin.
Changxin.
The X is usually pronounced S or SH.
Right. Changxin. So what do you think about that? What if the government allows China to start?
I didn't know there was any reason. What we're restricting buying memory from China?
Probably. But there's a whole bunch of stuff. Didn't we do the same thing with Huawei?
To encourage our own memory makers. You mean the memory makers like Samsung?
Is that Chinese or is that no? Tim, that's Korean.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying we there's no restriction on that.
No, not, but their prices are out of control. So maybe if that goes, why don't we just get Chinese electric cars over here? Why not?
We have to protect Elon.
Yeah. And then you have Korea going.
Chinese electric cars would
be great.
So, yeah, they decimate the market.
It'd be great. They got a little place to put your chopsticks in the car, keep your little canisters of fried rice warm in a cup holder. Perfect. Korea goes all in on AI memory. Samsung and SK Hynix are backing a huge South Korea. This happened a couple days ago. The news came out. Backing a huge South Korea chip build-out tied to AI memory for HBM, advanced RAM, packaging, and other data centers. So hundreds of trillions of won for new fabs, including facilities in a variety of places. SK Hynix expanding and all that. The government angle here is that Seoul wants the domestic chip market treated like national infrastructure, not just corporate CapEx. So pretty amazing. The state's trying to lock up the supply. It seems like this whole thing is starting to get where we've had the cycles before, where we start building so much and pumping out so much that it's inevitable that some of the demand's going to fall off a little bit.
Or a lot.
A lot, yeah. What would it take to, well, what did it take to ramp it up like this? It took, you know, this big spend. That spend could dry up just as quickly, can it?
Yeah, and I do have a rhetorical question for investors. And you might be able to do it. Somebody can do it. Let's say we build out all these server farms.
Mm-hmm.
But the AI goes local because it's going to do that. it's going to be desktop AI, because you can be able to put most of that stuff on your machine on the desk. You won't need to go to the cloud. And so you're going to have all these server farms that are going to be underutilized. So you're going to have overcapacity in server farms, which of course will collapse the price of memory. You're going to have overcapacity. What can fill that capacity other than AI? Now, I presented this to Adam Curry, mm-hmm. who is the, you know, my co-host on the No Agenda show twice
yeah.
a week.
Yeah.
Because he's usually picks stuff like his best answer is Bitcoin mining, which to me is okay. Well, there would be some of that, but I think there's something else, and that would be an investment opportunity. I think that'd be a killer.
Pickleball. Yeah, you got all the cooling facilities there. Just make it a pickleball course.
Well, yeah, well, that's about as useful as the
or the next thing. You know,
Bitcoin mining yeah. answer.
I mean,
somebody out there must have some clue, some idea. There's which would lead to an investment opportunity that would be right now in the shadows.
The other thing that would happen is it would bring down energy costs dramatically, because there'd be so much excess energy from not having.
Yeah, you'd hope. Yeah, you'd hope.
I mean, if you go Bitcoin mining, it's the same thing. You know, same amount of energy probably drawn. So this whole thing that's going on with, I guess the question again is what could make things change? Not that we need things to change, but just always on the lookout for the boogeyman and the monster under the bed, right? Kind of, yeah. That's what we do as portfolio managers, as money managers. We make sure to protect money for our clients, and we got to always look and be aware. The antenna has got to be up, looking around, you know, head on a swivel. What can go wrong here? Not because we want to hold back, because we want to make sure we're making good decisions at all time. You always wonder when you look at a portfolio, what's my worst stock in this portfolio? Let's get rid of it and buy something better. Well, the RAM job that's going on right now, Samsung, SK Hynix, Micron, wait for it, hit with a U.S. antitrust class action lawsuit over alleged RAM price fixing. What I find fascinating about this is that our government is now going after the gas companies, you know, the Chevrons, et cetera, at the pump for gouging that concept. So why aren't they bringing prices down more? You know, that we have the oil prices and or gasoline prices go up like a rocket. They come down like a feather. They're not coming down. Oil is way down. How come gas prices come down from 4.25 down to 380? You know, and that oil's down 25%, gas is down 5%. But meanwhile, nobody's talking about the egregious pricing of memory chips until now. The allegation is that the three companies coordinated supply cuts while shifting capacity away from regular DDR3, DDR4 memory into a higher bandwidth memory for AI servers, thus causing the problem, which kind of is a little weird, because how do you know, it's like a car company shifting from trucks to cars or something like that, because that's where the demand is.
Yeah, you're going in the direction where there's demand.
Right.
So it's you would do that.
Right, exactly. Now, the plaintiffs say that three companies control roughly 90% of the DRAM market, or the DRAM. Conventional DRAM price allegedly jumped about 700% over 4 years. We've seen that. That's not a question. We know that. Now, in this complaint, they argue that the normal commodity market, or at least supplier, one supplier, would usually increase production when prices spike. Instead, the lawsuit says that all three moved in the same direction at the same time. Now, we could probably sit here and come up with all rational reasons why that was the case. From profitability to demand cycles. Now, here's where it gets even more interesting. You want to take this next one? Because this is that article I sent you.
I'm sorry, what?
This is the article that I sent you along with this that talks about we've seen this movie before.
Yeah, in 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a price fixing that took place then, almost along the exact same lines.
And who was involved in that one? Any names ring a bell?
Actually, now that I think about it, no. None of the names ring a bell except for the same names.
The same names. Same names. Same name. SK Hynix and Samson. Hynix pleaded guilty in 2005, agreed to pay at that time.
Yeah, so if they did it before, they'll do it again.
Yeah. So Infineon was there, paid $160 million. Samsung paid $300 million, criminal fine. Micron was all involved in the investigation, but received amnesty cooperation treatment. They probably ratted everybody else out there.
Yeah, they ratted everybody else. Yeah. That's what they did.
How do you like that? Several executives were charged. That's when actually, as an executive, you can go to jail for something. Then it all just washed out.
Jail.
Who?
Yeah, nobody. That's who.
No, several executives were also charged. Oh, pled guilty. They didn't go to jail. They just paid. There were civil cases, et cetera. Difference now is that the new case that's been brought is not proven. It appears really focused on alleged, well, it's always alleged, coordinated supply restrictions during the AI, you know, boom. But who knows? I can't imagine that they're doing this again, but maybe, maybe. I wouldn't put this kind of crap past anybody, would you?
No.
Yeah.
We did it before, and they probably did a calculation. What happens when we get busted? Well, we'll still make out.
And because they got busted once before, they're on the high watch list.
Yeah, but they got busted once before. Now they know how to do it right.
Yes. Now they know how to cover their tracks. Nobody had a conversation. Surely there'll be a few people wound up dead soon enough. We've seen that.
It's funny. That's what usually happens.
Yep. What? Mysteriously was flying in a plane too low in a fog bank by a mountain. How'd that happen? It's always like this. A helicopter incident that went awry. You know? Just something. An unknown reason an assailant came in to rob the house, was confronted and shot him to death. Something crazy. Chevron and Microsoft. Chevron Corp signed a 20-year deal with Microsoft for data center power. The agreement supplies natural gas-fired generators for their West Texas facility. It's called Project Kilby. Expected online at about 2028. So think about that. Could you imagine thinking about 2 years in the future?
I wonder if it's named after Jack Kilby.
Who's that?
Famous chip guy.
Oh. What, do you want to find out? Do you want me to look it up as we're talking about it?
Yeah, if you want. I mean, I don't think it's important. Just cute. It's just a cute code name.
Jack Kilby. Yep. Jack Kilby. The electrical engineer who co-invented the integrated circuit in 1958 while working at Texas Instruments. You knew that. Kudos to JCD. Do you feel smart?
Yeah, well, he also got, I mean, Texas Instruments had that, and so did Intel. The old exit was Fairchild where they invented it, and then they moved to Intel and created Intel, which meant integrated electronics.
Mm. So it's going to be able to power more than, I like how they always do these analysis, 530,000 Texas homes. Enough to power that? Chevron partnered with Engine Number One. The financial investment decisions are going to be planned later. So kind of interesting. More energy happening. The Interior Department, drill baby, drill. The Interior Department's cutting federal drilling bonds by 95% to spur exploration. The required bond that you had to put up was, used to be $500,000. Now it's only $25,000. Who can't afford $25,000 for a lease?
Yeah, just get a drill.
Yeah. Let's get one of those things, those Makita deals from Home Depot. Now, bonds ensure cleanup costs don't fall on taxpayers if they're abandoned. So let me ask you something. How far is a $25,000 bond going to go to the cleanup of a oil well explosion?
Well, it's assumed that if you can drill and get an oil well explosion, there's enough oil there that you should follow up and get some more investment and actually pump the oil out and make a lot of money.
Yeah. True.
The $25,000 is for dry wells, let's face it.
Right, to clean up the dry well. Right, exactly. Let's see here. Dow closed above 52,000 for the first time. Pretty good.
Headed to 60.
Yep. Comcast is breaking itself up.
I saw that.
They're going to split the media and connectivity into two separate companies. This way they could probably charge more or something. Who knows?
I don't know what they're up to. I mean, it's like, first they start by being a conglomerate, and then they start busting themselves up.
This is the way that
it's
done.
Don't they make up their minds, these people?
Well, that's the way it's done. It's almost the equivalent of private equity taking over a company, and then they leverage it up, make it really thin, lean, leverage it up, and then push it back on the market to all the investors to suck it up. Kind of same thing here. They cleaned it up. They figured out which works best with each other. They're going to take NBC Universal. They're going to take Sky. That's going to be spun off in a tax-free deal. Comcast is going to keep the broadband, the wireless, the cable. So shareholders are going to own both Comcast and the new NBC Universal. I don't know how that NBC Universal is going to do. You know, a media company versus the broadband, wireless, and cable, which is the company that makes a bunch of the money.
Yeah, but you can't make money without the media company providing something for you to ship over those wires.
Right. So the AI trade now, this is kind of a little bit more of a sophisticated situation, but I think it's important on the same genre of conversation that we're having here. The AI trade is getting a warning label. What's happening is the Bank of International Settlements flagged the AI boom as a financial stability risk.
Wow.
The main concerns are elevated valuation.
That long.
Yeah. So elevated valuations, investor complacency, complex funding structures, and debt financing. They also warn that the record public debt that we have and leveraged hedge fund activity and sovereign bonds could amplify shocks. That's separate and apart, but I guess they're pushing it together. So the interesting part of this is that the central bankers are not saying the AI is fake, of course, or some kind of like, you know, bubble or whatever they're saying. Or I guess they're saying it is a bubble, but not fake. They're saying the financing slack and stack that they put together, the financing methodologies they're using are a bit problem. Now, if you think back, when did that happen before? It's happened many times before. But when was the big one? Big one was 2008.
Yeah,
Where we credit crisis. Where we packaged up shitty debt and good debt together and put the good, it was almost like we stacked the good debt on top to make it look good because
going to the farmer's market and then fresh tomatoes underneath there rotten.
Exactly. It's funny. I had a food analogy to that as well. It's weird as you say that, but we think alike. So it's kind of interesting that they're going to be putting a big warning on that. So
is it like a label? I mean, where's the warning going?
It's just something they say. It's just the Bank of International Settlements is putting their mark down that, hey, there is a liability, a problem. There's a potential. There's some issue going on. We're concerned about this from a global standpoint on the debt levels. And the debt that's being issued. I've heard also today some other discussion about debt that's becoming problematic, very illiquid, very problematic getting out of things right now. So there's that also going on. We actually took most of our money for our clients out of longer term maturities, midterm level maturities, and actually put them into cash because we figured, if we're making a 3.5% in cash right now, why bother being in a bond that's paying me 3 or 4% with volatility and the potential for principal loss? Made no sense.
Right. Yeah.
So speaking about food, you want to hear what I made this weekend?
Yeah, what?
So I got a tortilla press, one of those cast iron tortilla presses. And I took...
You have to have one if you live in California.
Yeah, of course. I didn't make tortillas. I took parchment paper and I put pieces of yellowfin tuna, little rounds, and salmon, and squashed it down and made all this. Yeah, made all this carpaccio out of it with different sauces. It's delicious. Very thin. It's actually pretty amazing how easily it is.
Worried about worms?
Why? But where are the worms coming from?
With saltwater fish, always have worms.
They do not. The ones that sit on the bottom. That's why groupers, they sit on the bottom. They get worms.
What about rockfish?
Rockfish probably sit on the bottom as well.
I only say that because we were recently at Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter spotted some worms coming out of a rockfish.
Alive?
Live worms, yeah.
Let's see what this is. A rockfish. Bottom fish? Let's see. A rockfish. Yep. Prize bottom fish. They targeted over hard, rocky structures, reefs, and kelp beds. So that's where that comes from. Yep. Anglers use heavy weights and bottom-bouncing rigs.
Catfish is a bottom fish, but at least it's in fresh water, so it's not going to be wormy.
Catfish have worms. Let's see. They can host parasites as worms, grubs, tapeworms, and roundworms. Yellow grubs, white grubs. So, yeah. Tapeworms and nematodes. That's in the intestinal tract, though. But you cook them up and it kills it, and it's all protein in the end anyway, so who cares? Let's be honest.
Yeah. You're talking about carpaccio, is not cooked.
It's not cooked, no. That's correct. But it's tuna. Tuna's free swimming. It's salmon. Salmon's generally free swimming. And in cold water. Let's get back to inflation. Back above 4%. The BEA's PCE price index rose 4.1% year over year in May. April was 3.8%. March was 3.5%. February is 2.9%. So going the other way around, just to be clear about this, February 2.9, March 3.5, April 3.8. Do you see a trend, sir?
Yeah.
This is not disinflation or deflation, is it?
It doesn't look like it to me.
So there's some methodology that's being used that may be changed.
They're always screwing with the methodology. So are these numbers even valid?
They're valid now, but they don't like them. So the it's going to probably be revised lower because they are doing a methodology change. Goldman estimated May core PCE maybe 3.2, JP Morgan. But here's what the really interesting thing was. Some of the things that are making the PCE, the personal consumption expenditures, the favored Fed inflation number, is they include things like portfolio management fees, legal services, and computer software. And as the stock market goes up, portfolio management fees go up, right?
Do the fees actually go up?
Of course.
Or is it just a percentage?
Yeah, but it goes up. The actual number goes up.
Okay, yeah, I guess technically.
You have a stock market that goes up 20%, the fee goes up 20%.
Yeah.
Of whatever the fee was. So therefore, what's happening here is you're getting this benefit, but it's inflationary, which it is. That's a number. You're paying it. You're paying this. So they're going to probably change that. They do these things. It's not fair. Stock market's going up. It's not fair. Meanwhile, when the stock market goes down,
they change it back.
That's what they do. That's what they do. Oil. Oil. Let's see where oil is right now because it dropped very significantly recently. But there's been some back and forth going on right now. Oil is now at $69.85. Sticking basically right below $70. Now, this is with the tensions that we had. And by the way, here's some odd market behavior, or maybe not market. Geopolitical escalation keeps getting followed by de-escalation headlines and risk on rallies. Where does that happen from? Well, the new attacks that happened on by the USA on Iran last weekend, remember that?
Yep.
When did they announce it? 4:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, market close.
When did they say that there was going to be a halt to the fighting? Right before the market opened on Sunday. The
futures. They're screwing with the market.
Yeah, we're going to go in there and fight, and nobody's going to feel the pain because We don't want the markets to be open when we're doing this, which then gives the Iranians the heads up that this is going to happen. Brent rose a little bit on Monday. WTI rose a little bit. Markets rallied anyways because, again, you know, talks are going to resume. Shipping routes were stabilizing. We're in good shape. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the shuttle boat. It doesn't matter. It's fine. Wendy's has become a meme stock. Stock surged 25% last Wednesday, right the day after the show. Then gained another 9% on Thursday. There was a CFO shakeup picked up by Wall Street Bets. You know, that's the Reddit group. Mm-hmm. The CFO, Steve Cirilius, came from Potbelly, is also taking this chief strategy officer title. Now, that's great. Have you ever looked at the Potbelly stock? Not so good. Have you ever eaten a Potbelly?
No, I've never looked at it, and I'm unfamiliar with this guy. And I like hot shots coming in and trying to do stuff, but not if it's just a meme stock.
Right. Short interest was 30% of public float. Nelson Peltz, Triant. Triant owned 50 million shares, valued about $93 million. He made a couple bucks on that, probably sold out. But that was a few days, and it was all, that's all they could talk about on the financial, oh, my God, it's going to be a new GameStop. Like, I don't think so. A couple day wonder, that's it.
It's a burger place.
No, it's not. It's Wendy's a burger place, yeah. But the Potbelly was a sandwich shop that had like jardiniere and hot jardiniere and stuff. And the big thing was that they'd...
I never even heard of that place.
They'll press your sandwich and heat it like a Cuban. I don't know.
Okay.
It's just silly. There's silly stuff going on. Very silly stuff going on. We talked about... the SpaceX bond. So right after SpaceX went public, there was a decision to raise more money because they need more money to fund all this. So they raised $85 billion, right? We know that there was another $85 billion of orders for the $25 billion of bonds that were considered investment grade that was put out. By the way, I think it was today, if I'm not mistaken, SpaceX joined the NASDAQ 100.
That'll keep it propped up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the 10-year tranche of bonds that they issued priced at about 1.4 percentage points over treasuries. So the 10-year, 3.5. So it's about 5%. 5% you can get these bonds. Then, right after these were issued and bought... and they're all parceled out to all the unsuspecting people that were about to lose some money. It went from about 5% to about 6%. Huge. Longer dated bonds, the 2046 bonds, the 2056 bonds, took most of the pressure, even worse. So they really could, you know, investors all of a sudden were concerned about, you know, Starlink and the AI data center spending and the Mars ambitions. And really? So the... they always say that bond investors are smarter than stock investors. That's what they say. You know, the bond houses know
really. They?
Them. You know, the people. Those that know.
I've never heard that.
You never heard that the bond investors, there's always quotes that stock investors may be smart, but bond investors are smarter. Seriously.
Because they know
the actual structure of the company, because to buy the bonds, not just flippantly buy a bond, but if they're buying the issues and all that, and these bond traders, they dig deep into the financials to understand, like when somebody's to understand the financials. A lot of investments on the equity side, people looking at charts, they're just following the trend. They're not even looking at the underlying.
Yeah, well, there is some truth to that.
So the equity investors bought the story, bond investors immediately marked it down. Pretty wild. And our last story, just to kind of talk this through for a second, is the intervention. So we had about $162 yen per dollar. Japan keeps warning it's ready for decisive action. It's going to respond at any time. Just be aware. Market kind of backs off a little bit, then they go right back to it. Well, the big reason here is that even though the Bank of Japan spent about 73 billion yen in their buying operation, U.S. rates are still relatively high in comparison to the yen, into the Japanese rates. Japan, while they're raising rates, of course, there's some thought, well, it's a lot slower than U.S., but they got to be. They went from like negative God knows what for 20-something years.
Yeah, it was negative. Yeah, it was, I think, as much as negative two.
It was crazy, yeah. And then now they have to back that off and turn that around, and that's a big situation. You go from a negative percent where the bondholder is paying you, which I don't understand. Can you imagine that, John? It's like, hey, John,
I'm going to buy a $100 bond, and when it matures, you get 80 right. bucks.
Yeah.
Here's your $80.
Can you imagine if I lent you money and I paid you at the same time? Isn't that what's happening?
Pick up some free cash.
It's crazy. If I lent money to the government and I have to pay them for the privilege of lending them money, and then maybe I get my money back at the end. Stupid. Anyway, U.S. rates are still high. Fed's not rushing to cut. Bank of Japan's still moving slowly. So this is called the carry trade. You've heard this. We've talked about this before. This carry trade thing where you go long the dollar, short the yen. Now, it will all of a sudden one day blow up in everybody's face, because they keep on putting this on. They leverage it on, and currency is usually leveraged pretty high. But currency is also, little bitty moves on a currency is a big move for your investment. So we'll see. The foreign reserves fell 5.6% in May after the initial intervention in Japan, which is very expensive, and I don't know how long they could do that for. So they're probably going to just let it just ride. I wonder if I have a yen quote here. I'm yearning for the yen. Do I have yen here? Yes, I do. 162.62. Let's see. Year to date. Year to date doesn't seem like a lot, but the dollar is up 3.79% against the yen. 1 year, 12.71. 5 years, 46%. Think about that. Which theoretically means, not exactly, but if you went to Japan 5 years ago and you went now, your dollar is like 50% stronger.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I'll take that. Give me a lot of good food.
Looking at these numbers, the one thing I'm seeing on these lists.
Where are you at?
Is gold dropping below 4,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is that what it is? Is it?
It's 39.87.60.
Wow. That's not good.